Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:06 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
Our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our great friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning, Michael Kerr here once again.
Good to have you with us, Michael. What has Mother Nature got in store?
Well, a touch of humidity out there for today, and with that heat and humidity, just a very slight chance for maybe an isolated shower or storm out there, but I think most of us still looking to stay dry. Decently warm with high temperatures headed up into the upper range of the 80s by this afternoon, with our winds pretty light out of the south and southwest around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, that very slight chance for an isolated shower or storm yet for this evening. Overnight lows dropping back into the mid-60s. And another rather humid day in store on Thursday. We'll keep that isolated shower or storm chance in there, but not everyone picking up on the rainfall for tomorrow, with high temperatures once again looking to reach into the upper 80s. Lower humidity looking very nice on Friday with ample amounts of sunshine. We'll ease back to a high of 84 degrees. Into the day on Saturday, not a complete washout, but by the afternoon time frame, we'll be dodging some hit or miss type showers and thunder showers out there as a slow moving area of low pressure starts to work in from the west. Saturday, a high temperature of 82. A better shot at some more widespread rain than looking at to your Sunday, and trending even cooler with highs back in the upper 70s. And that cooler stretch of weather still with us into the first part of next week. Monday is still a chance for some showers there, upper 70s, and Tuesday upper 70s, close to 80. For the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Not bad, Michael. I think we'll keep it. We can throw away our receipt. We'll keep that one.
Yeah.
Have a great morning, Michael. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Best in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Love hanging out with them and starting our day off with them. Thank you very much for them joining us. We are happy to have Melissa back. Welcome back, Melissa. Thank you so much. Yeah. We missed you. Good to have
you.
Glad
to be back.
We got fun things lined up. We're going to get into a little bit later. I've got the U.S. has banned the sale of common iridescent light bulbs. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Okay.
IHOP's got a heck of a deal that we got to talk about, too. And we'll have some fun with that. Of course, in a little bit, we'll have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And after Melissa's news, it's Wednesday. That means it's Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Wicked Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cannot wait. Looking forward to Phil Hartley joining us a little bit later. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick off with some entertainment. Got that in there. And then we are going to get into it a little bit after the entertainment segment, 10 social norms that make no sense when you think about them.
Well, I like that.
I have been saving this one for the three of us because I just knew that, you know, I could get great stuff from you know, no, we need all three of us here. We need all three of us for that one. But first, I wanted to kick off our show with this topic right here and with this quote, actually. Gestures should be taken with the intent they're given.
Okay.
And I think it's just something to keep in mind with this. Can we take a joke anymore? Do you think people just can't take a joke anymore, or are we constantly offended now? Because more people joke about stuff than they should be off limits, or should people do that? Someone polled 6,000 Americans, and in general, we think people just can't take a joke these days. But it's a mixed bag. 35% said we can't take a joke anymore. 22% think the real problem is too many jokes about off-color topics. And 31% said both are true. The remaining 13% said neither are true, and they're not sure. Of course.
Of course. Got some in there, yeah.
68% think that we're more likely to be offended than we were a decade ago. And 12% said less likely. So what are the rules around cracking jokes in 2023?
Okay.
42% of us think it's never okay to joke about anything people might find offensive. Even though young people are called snowflakes, and a lot of boomers were actually the most likely to agree with that.
Oh, that's interesting.
38% of us think any topic is okay to joke about, but half of those people say it depends on the spirit of the joke and whether it's funny or not.
Okay.
And so I come back to that quote, gestures should be taken with the intent they are given.
Right.
I think that you have to go, it is not about the joke, it's not about the punchline. Who's telling it? Who's telling it, and where is their tone, where is their intent? Dave Chappelle talked about this with the Chappelle Show and why he left. there was a point where he was doing really progressive, funny humor, really pushing the envelope in certain degrees. For example, to the audience that never saw the Chappelle Show, one of his very first sketches was the black white supremacist. It was about a black man that grew up in the South who was blind and did not know he was a black man and he was a white supremacist.
Right.
Dave played this character flawlessly. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It is hilarious, especially the ending. Oh my God, the ending. But at a certain point, he's doing these sketches and realizing the guy holding the boom, some of the other people that are there on set, they're laughing, but they're not laughing with. They're laughing at the stereotypes. And so he realized this and thought, well, I got to reapproach this. I got to do this differently. And, like, you know, pulled away and went to Africa and everything and came back. I also bring up my best friend in this, in Chris. And I've known Chris over 30 years. And I have never met anybody that has told maybe more off-color jokes, especially about my own people, Italians, Jews, and all that. But I have never questioned one second where Chris's heart lies. I know that if I'm going into something, he's the first call I'm making. He is it right away. I know he has my back. I know not only my back, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, that's his family. I know how he feels. This man is not Jewish and walks around every day with a Star David tattooed on his arm. I'm pretty sure I feel confident where he stands on these things, where his intent is.
Right.
But that is so much of it. I don't think that we are in a day and age where we cannot tell any off-color jokes. I don't think that at all. I think you've got to look at the source material. You've got to look at the person that's telling the joke and their history and where they come from on these things.
Well, yeah.
And it's...
Oh, go ahead, Melissa.
It's also the audience, too. You know, if you go to if you go to a comedy show... you should expect to hear some off-color jokes.
Yes.
It's a comedy show.
Well done.
If you're in a church pew, probably not going to hear a racist joke.
Yeah.
Or at least I would seriously hope not.
You would hope not.
You know, so it's all about the venue as well.
So great of a point.
That's a great point. And it's something I was thinking along the same lines of. So, yeah, I think with social media, I think a lot of the stuff that people that had a small audience got a wide audience.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. Is it depending, you know, is it for a mass consumption? Maybe not. That kind of thing. I don't want to excuse like vicious racist, you know, like racist and humor and stuff like that that's intended to hurt. That I'm not condoning at all.
Right. That's not comedy. That's not jokes. Then.
Right. That's something else. That's power.
That's hurtful.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's hate masked.
That's bullying.
That's, you know, that's like coming out with a song to try to create, you know, stir up a bunch of, you know, a bunch of feelings that didn't even need to be stirred up that weren't nobody was talking about when you're really just pandering.
Yeah, right.
You're just pandering hate.
No, that's you all. Just try to make money off of something that gets people riled up.
Yeah. Right, right.
I as a little kid, I remember my Nana Papa let me stay up late and watch the Johnny Carson show, and he had Don Rickles on, and I thought of Johnny as the royalty of late night. Nobody had the stature that Johnny Carson had, maybe not even on TV to me. No man, not JR from Dallas or any of these great actors or great people. Nobody had the status that Johnny Carson had. Don Rickles comes out and within 5 seconds is shredding Johnny Carson. Just, Johnny, why are you still wearing your hair like that? You know you're thinning, right? You know you're going bald. We can all tell. Look at Ed over here laughing at you. He's not laughing at your jokes. He's laughing at your hair. I never saw anything like it before. And I'm like, who is this man? I love him. I want him to insult me. Don Rickles could get away with that. He made a 50-year career out of shredding people that paid money to come see him just so that they would. Because in part one, I think everybody understood where Don was coming from. Also, very self-deprecating.
Yep.
And he would end every single show telling everybody how much he loved them, how much he appreciated them, and thanked them for having fun with him. And that we can all, that this was the beauty of comedy, that is the great equalizer. That the reason that the kings and queens had a jester was to show equality. We nowadays have not romanticized it, but turned it into a whole different thing where it was to entertain the king and queen and all this. That was not the original intent. Look at your history. It was not the original intent of a jester. Jester's original intent was to make fun of the king.
Yep.
So that the poor man felt he was like the king, that there was a commonality.
There was a connection there somewhere. Right?
This is still the purpose of comedy. It is still the greatest equalizer we have. And if we lose that, just like we're losing journalism and other things, that's scarier to me than AI. That's scarier to me than some of this other stuff that's being thrown around as propaganda and everything nowadays and stuff. That stuff bothers me. I think these discussions are that much more important so that we all understand what we're, you know, not only be on the same page, but hey, what can we get away with in all seriousness?
Yeah.
When Carl and I were first doing this show, we were faced with that. First off, there was a character in the news we were not going to talk about. We felt it was talked about way too much in the press. And we were not going to give him 5 seconds of time, and we did that. But then if you take that off, that's a lot of material.
That is a lot of material, right? Yeah.
And Carl and I like to tell jokes and stuff and everything. And what can we make fun of? And I came back to flat earthers. That's all I got. That was where I ended up. And to this day, that is still where I go with that.
Well, at least you got something, you know? No.
You got to have some material.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is a concern because it's almost a freedom of speech kind of, yes, of conversation.
It is. That I think it has something to do with that.
We need to be able to have these lighthearted moments. Are they at the expense of somebody or something? Well, yeah, that's kind of how comedy works.
Yeah.
I mean, even look at the most basic joke.
Yes.
It's got a subject. Pig fell in the mud. Yeah. Oh, that's a dirty joke. I mean, you know, there's got to be something in the joke.
Why did the chicken cross the road? I mean, well, this poor chicken being taught, having to cross a road and then having to give a reason why. Can't it just cross the road? It's a great point, Melissa. It's also something that makes me think of where we are in society, and we are all still in an experimental stage here. Mm-hmm. And I think understanding that gives each other grace along with yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. We're in a time where we're trying to make representation. You know, we're trying to make up for a lot of lost time when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And that is the case in a lot of different assets and a lot of different ways. And it isn't just about race or you know, sex or anything like that. It's also about rich and poor. It's about topics and conversations. And mm-hmm. with that, I think that creates a lot of this too, where I think so many people are worried about being offensive, that they don't want to not only not tell a joke, they're even worried about the thoughts they're having in their head, you know? And I think that's it's a bridge too far for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little concerning, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I've got a lot of students to deal with this that struggle in improv, yeah. And you give them a place, a time, and a thing, and they're up there, and you see that moment where they have something pop in their head, and they want to go with it, but they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot be afraid in comedy. You can't be afraid in entertainment. I get nervous every time before I go on stage, every time before I turn this microphone on. But I've never been scared to go on stage. I've never been scared to talk. That is another concern of mine, too, because that leads to the death of creativity.
The suppression of free speech.
Yes.
You got to take chances sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We're all trying to find the balance here.
Yep.
And then, you know, sometimes we have politicians that give us gifts.
Yes.
For instance, Ron DeSantis wants to have these conversations on the upsides of being enslaved. I'm sorry. There's no upside. There's no upside. I'm just going to say that. Okay. But it does give a lot of fodder.
It does.
It gives
some great material to make fun of him for. Yes. He is the Elon Musk of governors. The state of Florida, everybody wanted to move there because of the tax breaks. You got Disney. You've got all this like set income that's kind of built from Disney, all this resource. Mm-hmm. And he has just like destroyed all of that in a couple of years time. Well, go ahead, Melissa.
Well, comedy is the one place that it seems to be okay to talk about real history. We talk about what actually happened in history. And we can, in some ways, poke fun at it. Like, okay, we can make fun of this in a way, but also get across how awful it was. Mm-hmm. And how wretched it was for people who lived through it. But we're going to talk about the realities of it. We're not going to just wipe it out and pretend it didn't happen.
How about the very well said. Mm-hmm. How about the Marjorie Taylor Greene of Wisconsin, Derek Van Orten?
Oh gosh,
acting like old man yelling at crowd, cloud and everything at the kids.
He
doing
was yelling
the
at crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. How bad is it when Mitch McConnell comes out against you?
like your own party.
Your own good. Part. Like, Mitch McConnell is a problem with what you said. Like, that is something. That is pretty bad. Like, that's comedy. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, we got to be able to tell these things. So thank you, politicians. Thank you so much for still
you give us so
fodder.
Much sometimes. Yes. Not legislation.
Not what we need.
No,
not what we need, but no. At least we can laugh at you. At you.
At you. Yeah.
We are laughing at you. You at this. Yeah, no mistake. Yeah. No mistake.
Taking a break. Come back doing some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Happy birthday. Welcome back, everybody. Happy birthday. It's time to do some celebrating. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. And if you're celebrating a birthday today, Seth, what could they get?
They could get some cake. No, pie. Pie. Oh, what was I thinking? Oh, my God. Oh,
you almost said cake.
That was for you, Melissa. I did that just
aww.
For you. Pie.
I knew you
pie.
Missed me.
That was good.
I vowed to myself I'd be very nice to Melissa today on her first day back. You know, from now after that, all bets are off. But anyway, pie. Free pie at Misty's. Go get some pie if it's your birthday or anniversary for that matter.
Let them know, and you get that free slice of Brian's pie. We appreciate our friends at Misty's Menu sponsoring this segment. Also encourage you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james.mailuff@civicmedia.us. You can get in touch with our whole staff that way. Yep. Use any of our names and just spell it out and go ahead and email us anytime. Direct message us on Facebook as well. We encourage you to get a hold of us on the phone lines, 424-2600.
Yeah.
Call us between now and about 8:30, 8:35 and whenever we wrap up the segment. Mm-hmm. You got until about then to go ahead and get us those birthdays and anniversaries.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, I need you to give me a 1 through 4.
Ooh, I will pick 3.
All right, that gives us our qualifiers. So we can go ahead and get right into the celebrating. First up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Rochelle Minchel Frizzle.
Oh,
Rochelle, happy birthday.
Rochelle, I've only met a couple of times. So we've talked a little bit on Facebook, but Rochelle was our costume person for Baskerville.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. My gosh.
She was awesome.
Yes.
She was amazing. Just a wonderful person. But also, I haven't worked with a lot of costume people that work with you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Like, usually it was, here's your costume. Does it fit? Go. She was very like, hands-on with Susan, our director, and us as cast members, and making sure that we weren't just looking good, but feeling good and feeling comfortable.
And I got to tell you, that was quite a job, considering, I mean, how many costumes? I can't remember how many costumes I wore in that thing. So, yeah, just the sheer number, the amount of stuff she had to do was amazing.
Yeah. And really good costumes.
Good stuff, yeah.
Really good. And very good at what she does, and a great human being, great mom, wife, and all that. Yep. Rochelle, enjoy your day. Also want to wish happy birthday to Sharon Kotz.
Happy birthday, Sharon.
Happy birthday.
And a happy birthday to Deb Baum.
Happy birthday, Deb.
Happy birthday. Wow.
And a very happy 79th birthday to Dave Schatzman.
Oh, happy birthday, Dave.
Oh, happy birthday, Dave.
Happy 79th, sir. Hope it's a great one for you, and you are our qualifier, Dave.
Nice. Congratulations.
All right.
Big thank you to everybody that got us all these names. We appreciate you doing that. Keep them coming, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at some celebrity birthdays here. Haley Eisenberg is 31. She, maybe not a household name anymore, but there was a time when she was for a little bit there. She was the adorable little girl in the Pepsi commercials when we were growing up, the curly-haired little
girl. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes.
And she was Rob Williams in the Bicentennial Man with Rob Williams.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was going to become like a big-name actress and everything. I really thought she was. I was half right. It was her brother, Jesse, who became a big name.
Which is interesting.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, that's right.
Edward Furlong is 46. John Connor in Terminator 2. He also returned to play John Connor in Terminator Dark Fate.
Another child actor.
Yes.
That can. He's still going, though. He's still doing stuff.
I like him. I was a fan of him, and I like his work. In Terminator 2, it was his decision to wear a Public Enemy shirt, and I will always back him for that. Always back, like,
that
yeah.
was him. That was him. That's that was cool.
His, yeah. I thought that was really cool. Sam Worthington is 47. Jake Sully in Avatar movies. Marcus Wright in Terminator. And he was in Call of Duty as well.
600,000 other movies that he's
been in.
He's been
in a lot of stuff.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
One of my favorite people of all time. Not just creatives, not just actors or directors or anything like that. One of my favorite people. And if I had a list of people that I would love to work with, he would be on the top five.
Ooh.
Kevin Smith is 53 today. Silent Bob is 53, everybody.
Wow.
Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, the Clerks TV show, the Comic Book Men, the TV show he did. I keep going. Kevin Smith goes around and does tours at colleges and everything and encouraging kids to get into the arts and supporting kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of many people who have done more for the industry as far as creatives go and young people and independence and given opportunities. To Jack Black and Jason Lee and keep going. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck got opportunities through him.
Yeah. He's one of those guys. First of all, he's a great interview. If you ever listen to him, he's fun to listen to. He's got some really cool stories, especially if you want to learn about how he finally got Clerks made.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about that, how much, you know, that's really cool. And plus, we are very lucky to still have him.
Yes.
After what happened to him, he's lucky that he can talk. He's like, I mean, he was almost dead, and he's back and doing stuff still. So very happy that he was able to survive that.
Yeah, I don't think I would fanboy over many people. If Kevin Smith walked in the room right now, I don't know how it would go. I don't know. Butch Patrick is 70. Eddie Munster is 70.
Oh no!
Dear God.
Oh.
I didn't expect that to hit me that hard.
Another child star. Wow. Makes you feel old, yeah.
Garth Hudson is 86. The Band, of course, The Weight, and many of other great hits.
Yes.
Integral part of not only The Band, but of Bob Dylan's career.
Yep, that's right.
And let's see here. Max Wright, born on this day in 1943, passed away in 2019. Willie Tanner on Elf.
Oh, yes. I liked Elf. I did watch that pretty regularly.
Me too. Oh, yeah, man. Me too, yeah. Maybe the greatest horror. I think you could have a debate about this because there's so many good ones. But you have to. His name is going to come up in the discussion of greatest horror directors of all time. Wes Craven, born on this day in 1939, passed away in 2015.
Yep.
Nightmare on Elm Street, the Scream movies, Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes.
He's in the discussion. You know, him and George Romero, maybe John Carpenter. Yeah, you got to get all those guys in
there. Those three are the three that I think you can have any name, and I'm okay with any one of those.
Yep.
I look at this differently, though, when it comes to suspense. Alfred Hitchcock is the king of suspense.
Yes, that's different.
But Wes Craven also changed the game. Like, he does the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and it's comedy, dark comedy, horror, like, in stuff. So that's different. Not a lot of people are doing that. But then in the first Scream movie, spoiler alert, everybody, if you haven't seen the original Scream movie.
From 1996.
If you haven't seen it already, earmuffs right now. He kills off the biggest star in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Nobody did that
before. No one saw that coming.
Long before Game of Thrones or anybody else was doing anything like that, Wes Craven was the very first to do that. He had to fight to do that. The reason Drew Barrymore signed up for that movie was because of the way it was written, because of that scene, because of that happening. And she thought it was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The producers, they green light this. It's going to go forward. And then they start seeing the dailies and like, wait a minute. She comes back later, right? Like, no, she's gone. And they're like, you can't do that. That's Drew Barrymore. She's the poster. You can't do it. It was one of the greatest flips and twists in movie history.
Yep.
Easily. Yeah. Hands down. I'm sitting there in the movie theater with my buddy Steve. We're the only ones in the theater watching the movie. And that happens. And both of us like literally did the whole turn and look at each other thing. Like that happened and all bets were off.
Yeah,
anybody could die in that movie.
Well, the whole movie too was all commentary on horror movies.
Yeah,
which is something else no one had ever done before movie. Yeah, they talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
It's
very meta.
One of the few horror movies I've seen. because I don't like horror. Right. But I've seen Scream.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's really something when you have that, like, much later in your career, and you have a movie like that come out and
just
do that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
it was big. Yeah.
The wonderful, the great Peter O'Toole, born in this day in 1932, passed away in 2013. He is Lawrence of Arabia. I've seen other actors play it. I've heard other people want to remake it and things like that. Stop it.
Don't bother.
You're never going to. I don't care if you had Robin Williams in that role. You are not going to find an actor as great as Peter O'Toole to do that role. Or somebody do as great of a job as that.
You know, and I have to say, he is like one of the most attractive people ever.
Yeah.
You know, the directors were so smart and focusing on his blue eyes. He had the most gorgeous blue eyes on any human being I've ever seen in my life.
Another great interview, on the Johnny Carson show and everything. Beckett is a classic, but The Lion in the Winter.
Lion in Winter. That's one of his signature roles, besides Lawrence of Arabia, of course. Yes. But yes. Yeah.
Besides, his middle name is Seamus.
Oh, that's a good name.
Peter Seamus O'Toole.
I guess he is Irish, so it would actually be pronounced Seamus. I didn't mean to correct you, Melissa.
No, please do. That's perfectly okay. I can be wrong.
And finally, the great, the wonderful Carol O'Connor, born in this day in 1924, passed away in 2021. Archie Bunker and All in the Family, Sheriff Bill Gillespie in The Heat of the Night. Mm-hmm. Just a wonderful human being, too. Carol O'Connor, a big part of the reason why you had the stuff we just started our show with, some of the racial humor there that him and George Jefferson would have and everything, was stuff that him and Sherman Helmsley worked out.
Yep.
And it was very important to him that Sherman was comfortable. And Sherman would tell him all the time, stop it, I'm fine. Stop it. But on camera, one of the funniest mean guys ever.
Yeah.
And off camera, one of the sweetest human beings there was.
He had doubts about playing Archie Bunker because it was so opposite of who he was.
Yeah.
But aren't we lucky that he did? Because he did such a good job with it.
Once again, nobody could play Archie that way.
No.
Nobody. Woody Harrelson did a really nice job in the live remake they did, just the one episode one-off they did of All in the Family remake and stuff. He did a really nice job, but I think Woody Harrelson is one of the better actors of our generation, and it tells you something that he really couldn't. I kept missing Carol O'Connor. I love Woody Harrelson.
It's hard to try to follow that.
One more time, very happy birthdays to Rachel, to Deb, to Sharon, and certainly to our qualifier. Happy 79th to Dave Schatzman.
Yay, celebrate everyone.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Stick around for Melissa's news and encourage you to check out Misty's Menu afterwards. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 Steadway 13 south of Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Stick around, not only for Melissa's news, but after that, we got our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday coming up from our friends at Quality Plus Printing right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We'll be joined by Phil pretty soon with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Let's get into this while we're waiting to hear from Phil and get our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Okay.
The Civic Media Statewide Blood Donation Challenge.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Calling on all heroes. We know that there is a shortage right now. If you are able-bodied, if you have done your homework, you feel comfortable doing this, we encourage you to donate wherever you get an opportunity or whenever you get an opportunity.
Right.
Go ahead and do that. Take a selfie of yourself taking that donation and upload it to your social media, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, doesn't matter. Just include the hashtag Civic Pints.
Yep.
Along with that, include the hashtag WFHR, and you'll instantly win rafter tickets.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
But just for doing this, you'll get in the running to win some Brewer tickets, State Fair tickets, Civic Media gear, and you immediately win just by doing this.
Yes.
We greatly appreciate everybody being a part of this. We're going to do it for a couple of more weeks here in August. Be a part of the Civic Media Statewide Blood Donation Challenge. Include the hashtag Civic Pints and find out more or upload the picture right at civicmedia.us/giveblood.
All right.
And they extended it, so hopefully you can get within that window because you do have to wait 8 weeks between donations.
Right.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines and get to our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with our great friends at Quality Plus Printing. Good morning, Phil.
Speaking of heroes,
Yes, yes.
Here I am to save the day.
Oh, well done. Well done. Nicely done.
We're relieved you're here, Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, no, that's awesome that they're doing that. And putting that out there. Give blood, it's obviously always needed, right? So,
Our good friends join us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Let's not make the audience wait too long, Phil. What is our word for today?
So the word for today is something that we never have here, and I'm guessing you never have on the air over there at WFHR. It's persiflage.
Ooh.
Persiflage. Which means light and slightly contemptuous mockery or banter.
Wow. Wow.
Well, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a morning show.
We just rename it the Persiflage Show.
There you go.
That's such a good word. Such a good word.
No one would listen. But the what? I'm not listening to that now.
Persiflage.
It's a great word, though.
It's such a good word. I love that word.
Yeah.
It's a fun word to say.
A little mockery or banter, like you see. Yeah, it's what we put it into full practice here at Quality Plus, that's for sure.
Yeah. That is a fun one. How'd you come across that one, Phil?
Again, I Googled this one. So I just Googled fun or funny words, and that nice. One came up.
Right on.
Persiflage.
Yeah, just it's a word you'd use to describe the whole show of Seinfeld.
Yes.
Right.
There you go. Yeah. Nice.
Or The Office, you know.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's all they were, but they were so good at it, you know. It's amazing.
Phyllis, we're tailing towards the end of summer here. We know that a lot of our summer activities and our summer friends, like the rafters and people like that, getting closer and closer to wrapping things up. But you guys are constantly busy every season, every time of the year. What do you got going on over there?
That's funny you're going to mention that. Yeah, when we come into August, it's one of our busiest months of the year, which is awesome. But it's because the schools start ramping up and the industries around the schools. So you get a bunch of orders in here from Safeway, you know, the bus company, our local busking company, who are looking for drivers. Anybody else? There?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they come in and get some banners from us. They hang up, you know, that they're looking for drivers. But also they do a lot of neat things. They get notebooks for their drivers, and they come through us to get those. And so they're a great local company that we do a lot of business with. We appreciate them. But the schools are definitely ramping up. Assumption. What is some calendars for the students, you know?
Wow.
Keep themselves together. The sports teams are starting to ramp up, so now we start looking at the sports books that they put out in the fall for all the different local sports, for Lincoln Inn, Assumption, Nicosia, Port Edwards. We deal with a lot of those. So those are really neat business for us, too. We're printing out a big 55th class reunion booklet for our local school here this morning.
Wow.
So that's kind of a neat thing, doing a lot of family reunion things, invitations and stuff is still going on throughout the next couple of weeks in the summer here.
Very cool.
So, yeah, a lot of little projects like that, but definitely the fall season, and then comes into the schools start ramping up, and we do a lot of business with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Nicosia, yeah, like I said, pretty much all the local school districts we do some business with, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're getting ready, it gives us a lot of small projects.
Very cool to hear, and that's just a small example of the different types of things that they can do for you out there. If you have printing needs, bring it to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. They are going to take good care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You bet we will.
Phil, we always enjoy talking with you.
No first applause.
No.
It's very serious business now, yeah.
None. No, we're straight to the business.
Now, if it's Tracy and McKenna, that's a different thing.
Yeah, there we go.
But the customer...
Oh, always appreciate talking with you, Phil. Looking forward to next Wednesday already. You say hi to the staff over there for us. You guys have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks so much. Take care.
You too.
Have a great day.
Appreciate you, Phil. I love talking with Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And you will too. Go ahead and join him. He's over at Quality Plus Printing right now. Their doors are open at 3515 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, qpprinting.com, and follow them on social media. It's a great follow. You got printing needs, bring it over to them. Buy local, support local. Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. We'll be back with more. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. They were just genies in bottles? No, I got no segue. I got
nothing there, man.
I got nothing. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks again to Phil Hartley and our friends at Quality Plus Printing joining us. Get your words out with our friends at Quality Plus Printing. That was fun.
That was good. Yeah.
Already looking forward to next Wednesday. Wanted to get into this to take us to the top of the hour. It's the end of an era. The sale of common iridescent light bulbs has been banned in the U.S., but it's been a long time coming.
Wow.
And here are what you need to know.
Okay.
Iridescent bulbs have been phased out in favor of LEDs for years because iridescent bulbs are insufficient, both for your pocket and the environment. The Department of Energy says the average American family will save $100 a year or $3 billion collectively as a result of the rules.
Wow.
It will also reduce energy costs for schools and businesses. The rules are also projected to reduce carbon emissions by 222 million metric tons over 30 years.
Wow.
One more time for the people in the back. 222 million metric tons over 30 years.
That ain't hay.
That's pretty significant.
That's big, yeah.
LEDs last at least 30,000 to 50,000 hours versus of about 1,000 hours of iridescent bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So most families, businesses, and manufacturers have already made the switch.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
An energy economist put it this way. Going from an iridescent to the LED is like replacing a car that gets 25 miles per gallon with another one that gets 130 miles a gallon.
Whoa. Wow, that's a great analogy.
That's quite the difference.
The move to ban iridescent bulbs has been a bipartisan effort for decades. The ball really got rolling during the Bush administration and was continued during Obama's presidency.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
The efforts, of course, were halted during the Trump years. There's a famous quote from him about always looking orange or something about in the LEDs.
Ironic.
I mean, you can't tee it up for us like that, man.
Seriously, man.
You can't do that. It just speaks to how he has no self-awareness whatsoever. None.
No.
Biden relaunched the movement, and about a year ago, realtors were told that a ban was coming, and they should start purchasing iridescence out.
Phasing iridescence out.
The basic idea is that bulbs will now have to emit a minimum of 45 lumens, or brightness, per watt. Okay. Most LEDs do far better with at least 75 lumens per watt.
Yeah.
Traditional iridescent bulbs provided just 15.
Jeez.
There are specialized iridescent bulbs which will remain available, like appliance lamps or including fridge and oven lights, black lights, infuriated lamps, bug lamps, plant lights, traffic signals, reflector lamps, and other specialty lights, including marine lamps and some odd-sized bulbs.
Right, of course.
Hmm.
They do predict, though, that eventually even those will be.
It would totally make sense.
Right. Be phased out, yeah.
And you don't have to throw out your old bulbs. You can continue to use whatever light bulbs you like as long as they can still work.
They just won't be for sale anymore.
Right,
exactly.
Right. And if you're really interested in the evolution of the lighting industry, the next change that is coming is going to be a ban on compact fluorescent bulbs, likely by the end of next year. In fact, they're already being phased out.
Right.
That's good.
Because there's such a hassle to recycle.
And there's gases in there that,
Of course, we are not the only ones to do this. We're not even the first ones to do this. Other countries have switched to more efficient lighting. Europe banned iridescent lights more than 10 years ago. 2 years ago, the European Union, that's a weird one to say back-to-back. announced that they were banning all fluorescent lighting. That will go into effect next month. Now, of course, you cannot have anything in life without having a pushback. There are critics of the change who consider it government overreach. They argue that lawmakers should let Americans make their own decisions about the light bulbs in their houses. The people saying that are the people with somebody in their pocket. You notice that you see the certain type. We all know it. You just got to look, read between the lines a little bit on this one. Politicians hang themselves every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the reason why whenever I'm interviewing somebody and somebody gives me the, why don't you ask these questions and these questions? I don't have to. They give it to you in their answers.
Yeah.
I ain't got to ask those kind of questions. You don't have to. There's no hardballing these people. Oh, I'm going to ask you a question that nobody's ever asked you before. No, you're not. They've already been asked it 100 times, and they have a tailored answer already printed and ready to go.
Right.
I'm more curious in letting them speak for themselves. Because they hang themselves with their own words.
Exactly.
You don't have to work that, and it doesn't involve a lot of heavy lifting. the people that are complaining about this are the same people that complain that, well, we shouldn't have so much government outreach, so much government, too much government. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody's in my pocket. The NRA's in my pocket. Well, now the government has to come out. We're talking about the Second Amendment. We're talking about guns. Yep. Wait a minute now. Oh, wait. They want to take away soda. Oh, no. Too much government overreach and everything. Well, are you? Who is in their pocket? Because it ain't their constituents.
No.
It ain't the people that should be.
No.
There's only one group of people that should be in your pocket if you are a politician, and it is your constituents. It is why I maintain that things are never going to get better in politics until we start treating it like NASCAR. I want every single politician out there on their suit, on their dress. I want to see who they're representing.
Their own patches, right? Yeah.
NASCAR's got it right on the front of their shield. Right there for you. Napa. I know Napa's their sponsor. I want to see the NRA. I want to see Nike. I want to see whoever is in their pocket right there on their chest.
Would that make politics more interesting?
It would.
To see who everyone is getting paid by, you know, that would be fascinating. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Quickly getting back to the light bulb. This is one of those win-win-win situations. Mm-hmm. It's better for the environment. It costs less for people to use.
Right.
There's no losing in this one. So yeah, you're right. The pushback on this is either people who just don't want to change. Or, like you said, or have a financial reason to be against it, right? So
I will also include the people who just push back against change just to
in
push
general
back.
Yeah. For the sake of pushing back.
Yeah. Exactly. They have no reason to do it. They just I'm grumpy. If I'm going to be unhappy, everybody's going to be unhappy.
But look at the history of lighting in our homes. You know, over the course of human and since the Industrial Revolution, we'll say, you know, it's been a progression. This is just the next progression. Of a better, safer thing to use. We're not, you know, using kerosene in our houses anymore or paraffin oil.
Yeah.
There are candles. We've come a long way since then. So let's keep going.
Yeah, that's right.
Well said. Yeah, I like that. Well, let's keep going. Yeah. IHOP is doing something kind of fun here, I think, at least. We'll see how everybody feels in 424-2600. The phone lines are always open for you. Join the conversation. If you were hoping to pack on a few extra pounds this month, here you go. IHOP announced they're selling unlimited pancakes for $5.
Wow.
They're doing it for their 65th anniversary, which was actually last month, but it runs through now to August 27th. Okay. They'll bring out two at a time. Then once you've crushed those, you can get two more and then two more and so on.
Wow.
It's only for their normal buttermilk pancakes, though. All the other pancakes are still full price. They've got a few other deals, too. The kids eat for free between 4 and 10 if you order an entree. And they're only charging 65 cents for delivery this month. The unlimited pancake thing is in-store only.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
Makes sense. That makes hard sense. To deliver unlimited pancakes to your home.
That it would be funny.
Hey, we need two more over here on West 5th Street. be about 45 minutes.
Yeah. I love the idea of somebody just standing outside, you know, just like flipping pancakes and everything.
Yeah, I love it.
I also love that they're charging only 65 cents for the delivery. One, that's great. And the 65th anniversary, 65
gotcha.
Cents. Well
yeah.
played.
Nice.
That is all wonderful. And I love breakfast food. Mm-hmm. But this may be even the coolest part of this. They're also looping in Kevin Bacon.
Because really?
Bacon and pancakes go well together, and because Kevin also turned 65.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're the same age. How about that?
And Kevin Bacon has always been this guy, but we're getting to see it now as he's gotten more and more comfortable in the public eye. And his daughter has actually been a big part of that. His daughter has really helped him with social media and really getting more comfortable in the public eye. So he does Marvel stuff now.
Yep.
He does these kind of things. Like it's very cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
The first IHOP opened in L.A. on July 7th in 1958. And Kevin was born a day later in Philly on July 8th.
Wow.
Sadly, they are not doing unlimited bacon, but that is because they want to stay in business.
Yeah.
He will be posting about IHOP on social media this month and talking about it, though. They do have a partnership, kind of a loose partnership, man. but they're having fun with it. And more power to him and IHOP for this.
You know, I can only imagine what it was like growing up with the last name Bacon.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of him growing up, and it's like now he can just revel in the fact that he's like, yes, my name is Bacon, and I get to do stuff like this. Yeah.
He's laughing.
All the way to the bank, yeah.
Any kids that made fun of him when he was young and everything. Plus, he has a built-in excuse to always eat bacon.
I know. It's my name, man.
I have to support bacon. I mean, that seems pretty good, just that alone.
And he seems to be like one of the most down-to-earth people in Hollywood, too.
Oh, yeah.
He really does seem that way. I hope he's like that in real life.
Yeah. We wanted to do this. Let's go ahead and do it right now. Wanted to do it going into a break. We've got 4 state fair tickets sitting right here, and we want to give them to you. Woo. Call up 424-2600 and just tell us what's one of your favorite things about the state fair. Well, just anything. Go ahead.
Fairs are fun, man.
It could be the food. It could be the rides. It could be the people. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. You have the answer. Get it to us. 424-2600. Call up, and you win these 4 tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair, kicking off on August 3rd in West Allis.
It's tomorrow. Right
up, yes. It is kicking off tomorrow, everybody. Yep. You want to go? You can go for free. Just call up 424-2600. Otherwise, we're going to have a bunch of fun stuff in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk some rafters. We'll talk a little bit of entertainment. Got some That Ain't Right stories. And Melissa, Seth, and I have to get into the unusual things, the 10 social norms that make no sense when you think about them. All that perfect. Coming up, and a winner for the state fair tickets right here at 97.5. Well, you know what? I like the way Katrina does this.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.